For those embattled generations of the Civil War, Christmas was a gentler, more introspective time. The frenzy of Christmas commercialism, which now begins before Halloween and ignores Thanksgiving, was happily missing then. Going into debt was not a concern at a 19th century Yuletide. Going home was the major event. Thoughts of family and the home place tempered the wartime feelings of soldiers each year at Christmas time. On December 25, 1861, a Georgia lieutenant sent an optimistic letter to his wife. "Christmas Day," he wrote, "many happy returns to you and my dear mother and precious little daughter. And long before the coming of another anniversary, may the storm clouds which now hover above us have been succeeded by the pure light of love, of peace, and of righteousness. This is my hope." Near the end of the following year, a Virginia soldier from Charlotte County informed his family, "Tomorrow is Christmas again, and here we are around our campfire again, instead of being at home, enjoying ourselves with the ones we love best, as we were wont to do in days gone by. Oh, how much happier I would feel today were I with you all." A fellow soldier in a North Carolina unit felt the same way at the close of that year. "Oh, how changed is the scene to what it was last Christmas. 12 months ago I was home, where I could enjoy the blessings of a comfortable home of parents and friends. But this Christmas I am surrounded by warriors, cannons, guns, and all kinds of unusual sounds and actions to which I never was accustomed." Little in the year 1863 gave Southern soldiers much cheer. Letters in that Christmas season echoed homesickness and loneliness. A Northern Virginia cavalryman told his wife in a letter, "As Christmas will be pretty well over before you receive this, I need hardly wish you a merry holiday. There is no holiday, you will say, for a poor woman with 4 children, a body full of ailments, and a husband in the army. I have had none of the social enjoyment and pleasures usual at this season, and my mind has been much with you. I have indeed wished and prayed that you might be comfortable during the season." The soldier then added, "I do not care to celebrate Christmas until I can do so with my children and my wife. But when will that holiday come?" Christmas Day 1864 was the bitterest of all. An officer told his family that day, "While you were eating your good dinner, we soldiers would have been glad to have the crumbs that fell from the table." And young Sally Putnam of Richmond also found the day mournful. She wrote, "With saddened mien we turned our steps toward the sanctuaries of God. On this occasion our praise and thanksgiving were blended with fasting and prayer, with deep humiliation and earnest contrition." War ended the following spring. At Christmas 1865, Harper's Weekly magazine presented an editorial to all Americans. "The Christmas greeting of this year," it stated, "will be more exciting than for many a year past. For the living who return from the bitter field, there will be always, at every season, a Christmas welcome in all faithful hearts. For the heroic dead, there will be a forever renewed tenderness of private remembrance and of public respect with every Christmas season. Among such feelings, hate and vindictiveness have no share." Throughout the Christmases of the Civil War, gifts were few and celebrations were limited. Yet the strength and the love of family ties compensated in a much more meaningful way. And when at last the guns became silent, Americans could shout with new faith, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Merry Christmas, everyone.